Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Renaissance Global Limited's earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Anoop Poojari from CDR India. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Poojari.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us on Renaissance Global's Q3 and 9M FY22 earnings conference call. We have with us Mr. Sumit Shah, Chairman and Global CEO, and Mr. Hitesh Shah, Managing Director of the company. We would like to begin the call with brief opening remarks from the management, following which we'll have the forum open for an interactive question and answer session. Before we start, I would like to point out that some statements made in today's call may be forward-looking in nature, and a disclaimer to this effect has been included in the results presentation shared with you earlier. I would now like to invite Sumit to make his opening remarks.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. On behalf of Renaissance Global, I extend a warm welcome and thank you all for joining us on our earnings conference call for the quarter and 9 months ended December 31st, 2021. I will start off the call by taking you through a brief overview of the company's operational and business highlights for the period under review. Post that, Hitesh will give you a rundown on our financial performance, following which we will open the forum for question and answer session. We're glad to report that we've delivered a robust performance during the quarter on the back of improving demand environment in our key global markets of North America, Europe, and Asia. On a like-to-like basis, our total income in Q3 was higher by 26% year-over-year, and profit after tax expanded by 29% year-over-year. While our nine-month like-to-like total income growth stood at 34% and profit after tax improved by 178%. The growth was primarily driven by strong contribution from our high-end branded jewelry segment along with robust growth in our direct-to-consumer segment. Our global branded jewelry business is the key growth pillar of our business model. We have a growing portfolio of high-potential licensed brands and own brands within this segment. Our association with globally recognized brands such as Hallmark, Disney, and Star Wars has put us on a strong footing and enabled us to improve our presence across key international markets. We have been in advanced discussions to replicate our successful licensing model across other well-known brands. In line with this, we are pleased to share that we've signed a licensing agreement with one of North America's most popular sports league, the National Football League. Through this agreement, Renaissance and NFL will collaborate to design unique branded jewelry collection using NFL intellectual property. The NFL jewelry collection will include distinct pieces representing each of the 32 teams in the NFL, along with jewelry pieces for the Super Bowl and Pro Bowl matches. The collection will be premiered this holiday season at multiple retail locations such as department stores, specialty jewelry stores, league stores, mass market retailers, and others across the United States. The jewelry collection will also be featured across e-commerce platforms such as the NFL team websites and other e-commerce retailers. This partnership, along with our existing strategic licensing agreements, augments our branded jewelry product portfolio. Over the last 3 years, we have improved the contribution from our branded jewelry segment from just 2% in FY18 to 23% in 9 months FY22. Looking forward, our strategic endeavor is to achieve 50% sales from branded jewelry segment over the next 3 or 4 years. Within the branded jewelry segment, direct-to-consumer business is another important growth lever for us. We have successfully developed and launched 6 online stores within a span of 15 months. We're happy to share that the monthly visitors on these websites have recorded almost 10 times growth since February of 2020, and we continue to register strong consumer traffic across these websites. We are constantly witnessing healthy business from repeat customers. In this quarter, the contribution from repeat customers stood at 17% as compared to 15% in Q2 FY22 and an average of 6% in FY21. The contribution from repeat customers continues to be on an improving trend, showcasing higher consumer stickiness and brand trust. In the coming months, we will be broadening our direct-to-consumer portfolio with the launch of new websites, and we'll be introducing a number of strategic initiatives to strengthen this model. Renaissance will be launching a brand under the D2C website for NFL in the coming months. Overall, we've delivered an encouraging performance during the quarter and 9 months. While there are ongoing concerns about the pandemic in some key global markets, we expect minimal short-term impact. We are currently witnessing certain inflationary pressures on our key raw material, most importantly diamonds. This may have potential impact on our performance in Q4 FY22. We expect this impact to be temporary, as we will pass on some of these cost increases to our customers. I would like to highlight that Q4 FY21 saw a spike in demand in our key markets owing to the stimulus program by Western governments, hence would have a comparatively higher base. On the whole, these challenges are transient in nature, and we remain excited about our future growth prospects and opportunities in the medium to long term. Our core competencies, such as partnerships with globally recognized brands, high expertise in product conceptualization and design, advanced industry know-how, and win-win partnerships with iconic brands, positions us well to leverage on many growth opportunities in the high-potential global branded jewelry space. Based on our strong performance for the quarter and financial year till date, and in line with our dividend distribution policy, the board has decided to declare an interim dividend of ₹5.5 per share. On that note, I would like to hand over the call to Mr. Hitesh Shah to discuss our financial performance during the quarter. Over to you, Hitesh.
Thank you, Sumit. Good afternoon, everyone. We have reported a solid performance during the quarter, supported by high demand in our branded jewelry segment, as well as strong contribution from our direct-to-consumer business. In Q3 of FY22, our total income stood at ₹775 crores compared to ₹741 crores in Q3 of FY21, registering a growth of 4.5%, while for the 9 months ended December 21, the total income grew by 14.3% to ₹1,672 crores compared to ₹1,463 crores in 9 months ended December 20. Our branded jewelry sales in Q3 grew by 30% year over year, of which our B2B segment marked a healthy growth of 20%. Direct-to-consumer business posted revenues of ₹49 crores in Q3 of FY22 compared to ₹27 crores in Q3 of FY21. Growing by 78% year over year. In the 9 months of FY22, our branded jewelry segment grew by 38%, of which B2B by 23% and D2C by 123%. Strong uptick in retail consumption and improved demand environment in our key markets on the back of a holiday and festive season boosted growth within the branded jewelry category during the period under review. Our D2C segment is also fast growing. According to our estimates of 9 month revenue contribution to annual sales, the annual revenue run rate for this segment now stands at ₹130 crores compared to actual FY21 revenues of ₹65 crores, registering a 2 times growth. I would like to highlight that while revenues from our plain gold segment dropped by 66% and 60% year over year in Q3 and 9 months of FY22 respectively, the volumes for the same improved by 84% and 172% year-over-year. This is largely because we are now recognizing only making charges as revenue for this business. While this will meaningfully reduce the reported revenues of the gold division, EBITDA performance remains unaffected. In terms of geographic distribution of sales in Q3 of FY22, North America stood at 75%, followed by Middle East at 6% and other geographies at 19%. In 9 months of FY22, contribution from North America was 74%, followed by Middle East at 7%, and the balance coming in from other geographies. In Q3 FY22 and 9 months of FY22, revenue share of studded jewelry stood at 93%. Of the total studded jewelry revenues in Q3, branded jewelry business contributed 27%, and of which the B2B segment contributed 75%, whereas D2C contributed 25% of the branded jewelry business. On the profitability front, EBITDA stood at 68.4 crores in Q3 FY22, and in 9 months of FY22, it stood at rupees 163.6 crores, translating into EBITDA margins of 8.8% and 9.8% respectively. Profitability was aided by improved contributions from our high margin areas of branded jewelry and direct-to-consumer business. In the 9 months of FY22, branded jewelry business reported a 15.5% EBITDA margin, recording a year-over-year growth of 429 bips, and the direct-to-consumer business registered 19.1% EBITDA margins, which was higher by 341 bips on a year-over-year basis. Our direct-to-consumer business is a high EBITDA margin business with margins ranging from 20 to 22%. With a growing share of direct-to-consumer revenues to total revenues, we believe our consolidated EBITDA margins will be on an increasing trend going forward. In Q3 of FY22, profit after tax improved to rupees 32.9 crores versus rupees 25.4 crores in the corresponding period last year. While for 9 months of FY22, profit after tax came in at rupees 85 crores against rupees 30.6 crores in the same period of last year, registering a robust increase of 178%. Lastly, in terms of our balance sheet, our net debt to equity ratio stands healthy at 0.33 in December 2021. Our total net debt stands at rupees 305 crores, and our cash and bank balances and current investments stands healthy at rupees 286 crores. To conclude, we have reported a solid overall performance during the quarter and the 9 month period. As one of the leading industry players, we operate a strong financial profile and we remain confident of delivering improved performance going forward. On that note, I would now request the moderator to open the forum for any questions or suggestions that you may have. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The first question is from the line of Kaustubh Pawaskar from Sharekhan by BNP Paribas. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir. Thanks for giving me the opportunity and congrats for good stuff numbers. My question is on the margin trend. So for this quarter, we have seen our EBITDA margin at around 9.8%, and sequentially there is a dip because in Q2 we saw it at around 11%. Though YOY there is a stark improvement, on quarter on quarter there is a dip. Is it mainly because of the discounts or the change in mix during the quarter?
Yeah, so you know, I think there are essentially two reasons for the dip in the margins in this quarter. You know, one is we have seen an inflation in the prices of diamonds over the last 4 or 5 months, and there has been some element of commodity price increases that we've not yet passed on to customers fully. And I think during quarter three, which is our largest selling season, there is usually a little bit of promotional activity which affects our EBITDA margin. So I would say that it's a combination of these two factors, diamond price increases as well as some element of promotional selling.
Right. So as you mentioned that you have already taken a price increase. How do you look at quarter four? Whether this trend will improve or will it take some time, considering the fact that in Q4 there are a couple of effects. One, because of the inflationary pressure, and I think a third wave would also have impact on the sales. So considering that, would margins be under pressure in Q4, or should we expect it to improve on quarter-on-quarter basis?
Yeah, so I think our expectation would be that margins would continue to be under pressure like Q3 in Q4 as well. We've not seen a significant business impact because of the third wave. However, the year-over-year comparisons do become a little bit challenging because last year in Q4, the US government sent out stimulus checks. And so we expect a little bit of moderation in sales growth, specifically in Q4, and some bit of pressure due to all diamond price increases not being passed on to customers. However, we are fairly confident getting back on track to our target EBITDA margins by Q1 of the next financial year.
Right, sir. I just wanted to understand on your this strategic agreement with NFL. So, more from the perspective of the operations, that while getting into such agreements, do you have any targeted revenues in mind that from this particular agreement will be deriving this revenues, a number of revenues for the period of time?
Yeah, so I think that there isn't a specific revenue target, but I think that we would generally sign agreements with brands where we think that the opportunity would be to at least create a $20 million in revenue brand over a 3 to 4 year time frame. So that would be our goal, that if we feel that the target market was significant, at least to get to that size, then that would be an endeavor sort of worth doing. Obviously, it's possible that it could be a lot larger, like Enchanted is almost a $50 million business for us, but it takes a few years to grow. So we expect the NFL to be meaningful, but I think it's a 3 year process to grow the business, the brand, and the distribution.
And just one related question: when you enter to such agreements, initially are these agreements margin dilutive, considering the fact that you have to do more on promotions and little bit of inventory buildup because the product is under development phase. So anything. So initially, does it impact your margins?
Yes, you're absolutely right that in year one there would be some impact on margin because there's an upfront cost associated with developing the brand, the content and the marketing costs primarily. The inventory costs are not so significant because I think they scale up usually as revenues go up. But there is some upfront investments required in developing the marketing and branding content and the website, which would mean that in year one, launching a new brand would have an impact on margins.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks for the understanding. I will get back in the meantime.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Participants, you may press star and one to ask the question. The next question is from the line of Akash Shiveri from Perpetual Investment Advisors. Please go ahead.
Oh, hi, and congratulations on a great set of numbers. So my question was more regarding the macro environment that, we've had a great Q3 and even the industry has had a very good Q3. So for 2022, do you feel that we can see volume growth, or the growth this year would be more with more pricing growth rather than volume growth? Because you know, US job data has been better than expected. So how is the current demand scenario looking, and the expectation for the forthcoming year?
Yeah, thank you for your question. So I would say that you know, our expectation would be for the demand environment to be slightly challenging in the next 4 months, especially when the comparisons are on a year over year basis, because of the fact that you know, there was the US government stimulus checks. And you know, I think this year pricing growth will definitely be a key driver of sales growth. So while the US consumer remains in, you know, in good health, we expect business to be healthy. However, the next 4 months, the comparisons definitely do look challenging because of the year over year comparisons from last year.
Okay, fine. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask the question. The next question is from the line of Shashank from Haitong International Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Am I audible?
Yes, sir. Please go ahead.
Yeah. So I'm a bit new to the company, so I would like to get some clear understanding of the business model. So I see a large chunk of your revenues comes from the customer brand segment, and wanted to know what the exact functioning of the segment and how is it different from the branded jewelry segment.
Sure. So essentially, the customer brand segment is a segment where we design, manufacture, and sell jewelry to large global retailers under their brand name, and the branded jewelry segment is a segment where we are the licensee or owner of the brand, and the product is sold under a licensed brand or our own brand, either direct to consumer or through retail partners.
Okay, understood. And in terms of geographical mix, I see in the other section, what type of countries are included? Like, what all countries are included, and what's India's share in that?
Yeah. So, it's primarily Europe and Asia is the other segments, and Europe being a large part of the other segment. India is a very small percentage of our revenues. We currently operate 3 stores in India, and you know, predominantly for the current financial year, you know, they've been largely closed due to COVID or relatively operating at you know, lower capacity because we're a newer brand. So India is not a meaningful number in our total revenue, and the other segment is primarily Europe with a little bit of revenue coming from Asia.
Understood. Also, since you told that you're trying to like expand to other geographies in the coming period in order to like boost your brand building segment, so what are your plans on that?
So I think we don't expect the geographic mix to shift significantly. You know, we see a large opportunity in the markets that we are currently operating, primarily in the US, to increase penetration and grow our existing brands and grow our direct-to-consumer business. So I would expect that our geographic mix will not change dramatically in the years to come.
Understood. Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Kaustubh Pawaskar from Sharekhan by BNP Paribas. Please go ahead.
I just have a follow-up on the demand. As you said, that Q4 is a little bit subdued, and it is going to be a transition phase. But how do you expect the you know, next holiday season to be like in FY 23? How the demand environment would be FY23 and 24, considering the overall revival in the global market. Like now things are looking to be better, mobility is improving, most of the countries are getting out of the COVID phase. So how do you expect the demand environment in the medium term, and whether you gain any shares in some of these markets?
Yeah, so I would say that medium to long term, we are extremely optimistic and bullish about the demand environment, as a lot of stores were shut, and now with the stores reopening, people being able to go out again, we still have a significant exposure to physical retail. So overall, we are optimistic with the number of brands that we own and the distribution network that we have. Medium to long term, we are optimistic that we should be able to continue to grow the business significantly in the years to come. I think that a lot of the challenges that I'm describing are short term in nature and would be transient and focused around Q4. I would expect that holiday season for FY22 to be relatively healthy, and especially for us, given a lot of new brand launches, we expect to have strong momentum for next financial year.
So in that case, sir, we had earlier targeted for EBITDA margin of close to 10% by FY24. So that target still remains, considering the fact that your D2C business contribution is improving, scaling up well. The branded jewelry business contribution is now 23%, and it is expected to further improve. And it has margin of around 15-16%. So considering these factors, should we expect margins, closer to 10% by 2024?
Yes, our goal really is to get our EBITDA margins above 10%. I mean, our goal medium to long term would be for our EBITDA margins to be in the 10 to 12% range, especially as the contribution from the branded jewelry segment increases. So I would expect the next financial year and going forward margins to definitely be higher than 10%. So 9 months of the current year, we are at about 9.8%. Our expectation would be definitely to be greater than 10% for the next financial year.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Thanks.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Gaurav Singh from Sat Capital Management. Please go ahead.
Hi, Sumit. It's good to speak with you again. So a couple of questions. One, you did mention a couple of calls back that you're working on the customized orders kind of business as well. So what percentage of a business is coming from that right now in the quarter gone by?
Yeah. So, we did launch personalization on our Star Wars fine jewelry website. And it's been operational for 2 months or so, and we are currently seeing about 4 to 5% contribution coming from the personalized segments. We planned during the current year to launch customized bridal on our Enchanted Fine Jewelry website, where we will offer the consumer the choice to actually make a ring based on their preferences, choose a color of the metal, size of the diamond, and various other optionalities. And we also plan to launch personalization on the Enchanted Fine Jewelry website. So, we're very encouraged with, although it's small, we're encouraged with the response of the customers to the personalization initiatives. And we expect that business to become a bigger business during the current calendar year.
So this would work on advance payment, right? Upfront payment, and then you deliver within a specific period.
That's right.
And what would be the delivery timelines for it?
Usually 2 weeks.
2 weeks. Right. You're launching new licenses now. So what impact does that have on your working capital, considering that you'll require many more SKUs now? You have 32 teams in NFL. So it would require that many number of SKUs. So does that increase your working capital requirements?
So, you know, in general, our branded jewelry segment is less working capital intensive as compared to the customer brand segment. And especially D2C is significantly less working capital intensive than, you know, than the other businesses. So, you know, while obviously growth does come with its required set of working capital, I would say that the working capital intensity of the business will go down in the years to come. And, you know, the requirement of working capital will be lower as a percentage of sales as the product shifts towards the branded jewelry segment.
And what EBITDA margins do we do on the on our non-branded side of business?
So the non-branded side of the business 9 months is 8.3%, and the branded jewelry is 15.5%.
Right. So as the branded becomes more like 50%, you get to a level of around 12% to 13%.
That's right.
Would that be?
That's right. Okay. That's right.
And then since you said that 50% would be in 3-4 years, 50% would be branded. What percentage of branded do you assume would be D2C at that point in time?
So I think within that also we would target a 50-50 mix between wholesale and direct to consumer, because the direct to consumer is growing significantly faster than the B2B segment.
Okay, so in that case, the branded business's margins would in fact increase, right? 17% or so, since your
that's
B2C
right.
is 22%. Then so that's then right. shouldn't your EBITDA margins get pulled to around 14% then at that timeline?
So, you know, I think that, you know, the direct-to-consumer business is there's a bit of push and pull within there. You know, as we go along, the margins of the D2C business should go up, given that our customer acquisition costs are a little bit elevated now since it's a new business. So, one of the things that will expand the margins of the D2C business would be the lowering of customer acquisition costs as the number of repeat customers increases. However, we may also get into newer categories within the D2C space, which may fundamentally have slightly lower gross margins. So as we get into more bridal and higher AOV products, the gross margins may be a little bit lower. But I think structurally, you are right that, you know, depending on the penetration of D2C within the branded jewelry space, there is a potential for margins to be higher because of the mix shift towards the branded jewelry segment.
Okay. And in our non-D2C business, which is through the large retailers, so are we only operating through the large retailers, or are we also trying to get through the mom and pop route as well, which would typically be higher margin? Do we have any share in that side of things in the US?
We do not have distribution among the small retailers. Generally, our customers would be 100 stores and above.
Any plans to get into that segment? Because you were speaking to one of your peers, at least in the luxury universe, and they seem to be doing pretty well in that. The margins are also higher in that.
We don't have any plans to have distribution in the independent user space.
Okay, and you, since you've spoken about you know, price inflation on the raw material front, especially diamonds, any plans to get into something like a lab grown, or at least for a part of your sourcing, which could help control a lot of your you know, because you are scaling up your business, so if you have significant part of your raw materials in house, it will help you greatly.
Yeah, so we currently do sell lab-grown diamonds. It's a small business for us, and
right.
It's definitely a focus area and one which we are trying to grow.
So, at what percentage of your you know, diamonds you know, that you would include in your jewelry would be lab-grown? I mean, just a
currently under 5%.
Under 5%. Any targets towards that?
Nothing specific. I think it's a little bit it's a newer business for us. I think, you know, during the course of this year, we'll know how that business evolves. I mean, it's definitely a very fast-growing area of the market and one which we want to get focused on. So I think that we'll have to see how it plays out during the course of this year. And, you know, we hope to increase, you know, percentage share of that business going forward.
Okay. Thank you so much for answering the questions.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask the question. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask the question. As there are no further questions, I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you, everyone. I hope we've been able to answer all your questions. Should you need any further clarifications about the company, please feel free to contact our investor relations or the CDR team. We thank you for your valuable support and thank you again for joining us.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Renaissance Global Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.
Thank you.